This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live this Monday morning on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, June 1st, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, and Eric Bickle. Phone lines are locked and loaded. Let's go back to the phones at 800-636-1067 as we talk about the fallout from the George Floyd murder, and now days of protests and riots.
All right, let's go to Chris in L.A. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Junks.
What's up?
P1, I've been listening for a long time out here on the podcast.
Thank you.
And I wanted to see what you guys thought about this, so I just wanted to call in. And I did go to one of the protests yesterday. Saturday, so it's still like late Sunday morning, I guess, here. And frankly, like, I saw a lot of different things. Like, there were some police I encountered that were, you know, chanting with people and along with it. And then, you know, there are reports from friends of mine who, you know, said they were walking towards Beverly Hills on a certain street. And once they got past a certain point, police started shooting like rubber bullets into the protesters. And I think you've seen it in tear gas and things like that. In Santa Monica today, a few of my friends went, and I know there's a guy on the line from Santa Monica, but, some of those people went to protest were sitting down on the ground. Originally in LA, there was an 8 PM curfew. Then they changed it to 6 PM. And then apparently in Santa Monica, when things started getting out of hand, the police announced that that at around 3:50 that the curfew was now 4 p.m. and then started like unleashing tear gas on people sitting down on the ground. So I think there is like an aspect of, it's not just a George Floyd thing. Like, a lot of the chanting was for Breonna Taylor and for other people that have, it's a buildup of like a long time. People feel like they're not being listened to. And I think if you look at like the movements that were successful, like the Stonewall riots for the LGBTQ community, or, you know, like the women's suffrage movement and some of the kind of violence that kind of came out of there. Or even if you look at the beginning of this country and the Boston Tea Party and things like that, like those were violent protests and they got the attention of people. And I think that there are people that are angry, and some of the
hey, Chris,
stuff that I saw,
real quick,
it was like from, yes,
we understand the history, and you can give us a history lesson if you want. I'm just curious, personally, what brought you to the protest? How did you know where to go? Was it an email, or is just something that you figured people are assembling, I'm going to show up?
So the protest that I saw was a Black Lives Matter protest that was in a certain park in LA in the West Hollywood area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being publicized on Instagram by a lot of people. And kind of the reason, like, I'm not really like EB. I don't think COVID's a hoax. And, you know, I do take it seriously and I want to stay inside. But, like,
it's not a hoax. It's just not as deadly as we
Let's
were.
Let's not get onto that team.
Well, that's not why.
I just got to correct what he said.
Okay. But what I would say is I do take it seriously, and I think, you know, we still have not stay at home, but we still have, you know, things in place here in LA for that. And I just felt like there was a lot of people calling out on Instagram and social media and other places, and Black people really begging white people to be allies and come out for them. And I felt like it was something that was very serious and that I was going to come do it. And I kind of made my way. Honestly, the L.A. one is a little bit splintered. There's one happening in downtown. There was one happening in L.A. today. There was one in Santa Monica. So it's kind of like splintered all over. But I felt like, I don't know, that being a white person, my kind of job was to like come out and be part of their numbers and to help protect them. But frankly, like, I've been seeing white people throwing things at police officers and tagging things and stuff like that, and it's completely inappropriate. And I understand why Black people are frustrated, but we can't, like, as white people, be taking our frustration out on those kind of things. We're there to be, like, help and to listen, and, like, that was kind of why I went. That was my big...
Are you going again today?
Well, there was one today. There was supposed to be one today on, in, like, West Hollywood, close to like the Chateau Marmont, which is like a nice area that's been canceled because of like the rioting that's been happening. I think the people organizing these things are very cognizant of what's happening, and you know, these people care about this.
It gets tainted. The protests get tainted by, you know, you can call them a small percentage, whatever, but it gets tainted by those people, no doubt. So I think it's smart that they canceled those, because you know those guys are going to come back out again.
Thanks, Chris.
Right. Those guys see a big crowd.
Yeah, they're going to come back out.
Yeah. They're going to pounce on that opportunity. So it makes sense to postpone it or move it to a different spot.
All right. Let's go to, let me see. Where are we? DeMar in Hyattsville. DeMar, what's up?
What's up, friends? What's up, good morning?
What's up, DeMar?
Good morning. How are you, man?
That is my first time calling. I love you guys' show. Been listening for a long time.
Thank
I had
you.
To chime in on this one, man. I had to chime in.
Thank
good.
You.
By the way, I'm a technician with Cloud Metcalf, so I appreciate all the publicity. Love you guys.
Look at that. He's a five-star technician, you be.
Two and a half stars. Two and a half stars.
You're getting there. You're working your way up, DeMar.
Exactly. My coworkers are looking at me right now, too. They can't believe I'm on the radio. All right. So... We all want to say, guys, first off, I want to shout out to all the good listeners that are good police officers. I want to shout out, before I say anything about what's going on, shout out to all the good police out here, because I have relatives in law enforcement, and I mean, I hear and I feel their pain when they have to work in the same department, eat lunch with a guy, go to the meetings, and everybody knows the guy is a piece of crap. I feel sorry for the officers that had to sit back and idle and not do anything about it, not step up, not say anything because for fear of, you know, demoting or, you know, just not being accepted in the department. It's got to be tough for these officers. But like I said, I believe the problem starts from the judiciary system down. Mm-hmm. You have no fear of the consequences of your actions. You have no reason not to commit them. So as long as you know that with just the slightest little reason to commit the action, you can get off the hook, why would the police not do it and continue to do it? If you know the judge is your buddy, you went to school with him, your son's played baseball together, you're not worried about standing in front of him and spending 30 years of your life in jail. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about it. And it's sad to say that I know a lot of incidents that have occurred have been by the hands of white cops. Black cops have done it as well. But it's happening to white kids. It's happening to Spanish kids. These police are the thugs. They have just taken an oath to carry a weapon and a badge. They're no different.
Mm-hmm.
Five people jump somebody in the street. One person stands and watch another person put their knee in their neck. You don't have to be a fighter or a boxer or anything to know that that's a lethal move. That's a deadly move.
Yep.
All four of you are guilty. You watched it, nobody snatched them off of them. All four of you are guilty.
Yep.
I mean, let's be unbiased here. We have to start at the top of the judiciary system and come down. We've got to start with the judges. Let's start with the prosecutors.
Got to watch people, Kirsten. Yeah. The one thing he says about
Thank
the judiciary,
you, DeMar. Thank
I was watching something yesterday, and, you know, I think Drab pointed out that a lot of times police officers are charged, and there's video, and it seems obvious, and they end up, you know, they end up getting off, and they don't serve any time. And I can't remember who it was that I watched on TV yesterday, but said, well, a lot of times it is because they end up being prosecuted by the same people that they work with. Like if you're going with the local prosecutor, not a special prosecutor or the state attorney general, these people work with the police every day. And then it's tough for them to then prosecute the same people that they rely on.
I wonder why they didn't charge him with second degree. I can maybe understand first degree, right, because it's not premeditated. It says second degree is generally defined as intentional murder that lacks premeditation, is intended to only cause bodily harm, and demonstrates an extreme indifference to human life. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree he had an extreme indifference to this to George Floyd's life.
I don't even think many states have third degree murder. So it's a Minnesota thing. I don't know if you're looking at Minnesota state law.
I'm just looking at second degree murder.
Yeah, I always thought there was just first degree, second degree, and then manslaughter. I didn't realize
that. Somebody said that third degree is essentially manslaughter.
Right, right, right.
But the second degree murder sounds like an appropriate charge.
Certainly does. I think the hard part.
Didn't do that.
But see, the problem is if you charge him with first degree murder, okay, which is premeditated.
I know, and then he gets off.
And he gets a great lawyer, and he proves to the jury that it wasn't premeditated, and then there's more protests.
Right.
You know? So at least you're charging him with something that you think you can convict him on.
But why not charge him with the first degree and then work your way down? The hard part, though, is
I don't know if that's
again, I don't know Minnesota state law, so a lot of states don't have third degree murder. But the hard part is proving the intent, and what we also don't know is what's in the autopsy. Because that's what the defense attorney is going to point out if he has some pre-existing conditions, if he had asthma, whatever. I'm not saying any of it justifies. Like I said, I really hate the one bad apple argument, which Jason's making, because at a minimum it's four bad apples, the four guys
well,
that are
my,
there.
My point
but I think
is
there are systemic problems underneath, and the history of blacks being targeted is undeniable.
I get when I say one bad apple. I mean the actions were one bad apple. It's one guy, one bad cop.
Again, I say four because
okay,
the inaction.
Right. Again, my point is
inaction.
It's a very small percentage of that police department. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to point out.
I'd hope so.
All right, let's go to. Let me see. Let's go to Jason in Fredericksburg. It's hard for me to know which ones we've gone to. Can't remember anymore. Is Michael there? Line four. You want to go to Michael? Whoever.
Jason, what's
Jason.
Up?
Hello?
Jason,
hey. Guys.
What's up?
Appreciate you taking my call. I want to get something out of the way real quick. I do wear a badge, and I got a couple things I want to say. One thing I heard earlier was somebody say that there are a lot of people that don't support the violence. You know, they support the protests, but they don't support the violence and everything that's coming with the riots.
Right.
I lost a friend that I've been friends with this guy since we were 16 years old. We graduated high school together. We went to the military together. Same Marines together, have been in touch ever since. And last night, I lost him as a friend forever. And it was literally because he not only condones the violence, he supports the violence, and said that it is collateral damage. And at that point, that friendship was completely just decimated because there's no other alternative. So the reality of what you said is there are people that do, and it's a bloodthirsty. This isn't just a riot. This isn't people just breaking into Target. You know, trying to steal a few things. People want blood. And if you saw yesterday a message come out from Antifa, they're going from Target, they're going from retail establishments, and they're coming into your homes. And it's a demand, and they're calling upon these people that are rioting to turn, come out of the cities, get into the suburbs, and start taking what's yours, is basically what it said. And my last point is this, guys. This is way more than just a one police problem. This is a training problem. We need more black police officers. We have black people that don't want to be police officers because they're scared to be targeted as that federal agent that lost his life the other night. They're scared to be that guy. We need you. We need black people to be in position that we're in position, and that's how you're going to make a change. And if you look at the case from from Texas. His name was Tony Timpa, T-I-M-P-A. He's a white man in 2016 that lost his life at the hands of four police officers, almost the exact same way that George did. All of those guys got off. All of those police officers got off because there was cocaine in the man's systems. There's problems from the court systems all the way through the training that we have that need to be done, that needs to be taken place. Your protests need to happen. You got an ear right now. Don't lose it with this violence. And that's all I have to say.
Hey, thank you. I have a question for you. Is Jason, are you still there?
He's gone. Sorry.
Was he saying that his that he lost his friend because of what he said or because he died?
I think it's because he didn't die. He didn't die.
It's because of what he said.
Yeah, that he condoned violence.
Yeah. Right.
It sounded at first like it was because of what he died.
But that's what he was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls, 800-636-1067. Then we will have a little World Series rewind coming up at 7:45. I think later in the show, Bill Polian is rebooked. I'm not feeling uber confident because he was booked on Thursday or Friday, but I think we've rebooked Bill Polian, so we'll sprinkle in some NFL talk.
It's a, good to go. Valdez and I booked a cameo from his PR agent, who as a mea culpa.
Mea
culpa.
Was that even used correctly?
No.
So we've got Bill Polian later in the show and Antonio Daniels coming up at 9:20 here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington talking about the protesting, the rioting, which really has occupied almost the last week at this point. The Washington Wizards put out a united statement. We will no longer tolerate the assassination of people of color in this country. We will no longer accept the abuse of power from law enforcement. We will no longer accept ineffective government leaders who are tone deaf, lack compassion or respect for communities of color. We will no longer shut up and dribble. That's from the Washington Wizards. As we talk about this, got a bunch of people that want to chime in. Like I said, we will do a World Series rewind later this hour. Wish there was baseball. I told Jason on Saturday, and it doesn't change my mind. I don't think we're going to have a baseball season. That's just my prediction.
Well,
I would bet against it.
I think we will.
Now that you're hearing that there's some, maybe it's a small percentage of the owners that are willing just to cancel the 2020 season, that's certainly not good.
No.
How does that work? Do they have to have a certain number? What are their bylaws?
I thought it was 24 out of the, I don't know, was it 30? But I could be wrong. I don't know what the percentage they need to get through.
Well, I think they'll get outvoted. But I don't know. They'll have to do the math. They'll probably simply do a math equation.
The players' counterproposal won't be accepted, that's for sure.
All right. You want to bang out these calls? I don't know. Is it Megan, line 5? Is that the latest? Megan.
Yes,
morning,
hi.
Going with the Junkies.
Morning.
How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is just your call. Your show is really great because it's relieving a lot of stress. But I wanted to say that the problem is systemic in the police force. Just we have these outliers, but for example, the fact that Officer Chauvin—I don't know how to pronounce his name—had many, many complaints against him. And if you go back to the Aubrey case, too, it took public outcry to have the case be brought to bear. And it's systemic. And there's also a problem in just seeing that whereas there are only about 13% of blacks, according to the Pew Research in this, you know, in recent times in the U.S. population, but we make up a large percentage of the, you know, of those imprisoned, et cetera. Now, the last thing I wanted to say, gentlemen, is that let's be careful with the fear-mongering going forward, like with this threat of people coming into the neighborhoods to riot. And so, you know, let's be real. Let's focus on the travesty that's occurred here and the injustice in the system. And let's not, you know, just have people panicking because the attention is getting diverted from the injustice.
And right, but that's because of the rioters. That's because of the opportunists. That's the problem.
But we don't even know who they are. They could be paid people. We don't even
correct.
Know who they are.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think some of them are.
The people that are justly protesting are being overshadowed by the idiots.
Well, let's keep our we are brilliant people. We don't have to be distracted by
the idiots. You can't turn your back on it when they just decide they're going to light a Target on fire or these idiots are going to go in there and steal a Versace purse just because they can. I mean, it ruins the moment. It ruins the moment.
It does. I think that you even had a caller who talked about the characterization or the way many riots have gone in history. So you know what happens with black on white? It often is that there's a deflation of the atrocities against blacks. And anytime there's any little hint of anything in the direction of white, it's a bigger offense. It just trumps it. You know, if you find, you know, the crimes that happen in black neighborhoods, et cetera, all the time, every day, they're nothing compared to the one, God forbid, the rape against some white person, white woman that takes news coverage, you know, right up front for several days. So I'm asking that we all don't allow those riots. And I say we don't even know who they are. They could be people who are paid.
Oh, I think a lot of them are or not necessarily paid, but they're certainly financed. Yeah. Definitely. I agree with you.
I don't know if it's a lot.
Oh, I think a lot of it is organized protesting from groups that are opportunists.
I don't think they're all getting paid to go in there to the Target.
Oh, I don't think they're getting paid. No, but I think they're being supported.
Not necessarily
being
paid,
supported. But they're like dropping off pallets of bricks.
Professional protesters.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That exists, no doubt.
Yeah.
It exists, but the vast majority are people mobilizing.
But even if there were no bricks, even if there were no bricks delivered to these people, they're still going to find ways to get into those stores.
I know, but they're just making it easier to you know, and it's inciting violence instead of, I mean, you know how powerful like several hundred thousand people protesting marching is? That's super powerful.
Like I said, the scene from Denver to me was super powerful, just that image.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing to talk about. It is.
Yeah, I just don't have any particular wisdom on it. It's
sad. I'm not sure I'm going to believe it's systemic throughout every police department. I can't go there.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. John's in Wheaton. John, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Hey, John.
All right.
My point was all these states that are getting hit are democratically run, and they got a mayor or a governor that they deployed the whatchamacallit.
By the way, that's not
National
true.
National Guard and everything.
It's an easy talking point, but it's not true. Texas has a Republican governor. I mean, you can go state by state.
Yeah,
this is happening now in every state.
I was going to get to that. My point was there's like four or five Republican states. They showed force, and they ended their little riots. The Democratic strategy was just to
somebody's
you're losing your train of thought.
Don't hang
flaming
up.
Out.
Shaky voice.
Did he hang up?
Flaming out.
He had shaky voice trying to prove his point.
Come on.
Oh, John?
He hung up.
Yeah, he punched out.
He panicked. For the best. He panicked.
Yeah. He was flummoxed.
He panicked.
It's an easy talking point, but it's not true.
Yeah, they consulted a sheet of paper.
Let's go to Ryan on line two. Ryan, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Ryan?
All right.
You got a low bar to follow right there. Low bar for you.
This call's going to be selling.
Yeah. Your call's going to look great.
Yeah, I'll do my best to follow it.
Right. Go ahead.
You know, in regard to the protests and everything else, it's a lot of just ignoring what the real issues are within the systems, the communities, and all that stuff. And anytime someone, and a couple of your callers, you know, God love them. One woman said, you know, whenever there's a white crime against a black person, there's a white crime front page news, I don't know what news she reads. You know, it seems like the racial issue is constantly pushed into the forefront. When reality is, it's almost like you need to look at the things as an individual thing for whatever, black community, minority community, and then as a police department, the justice system as a whole. I'm a football coach in a larger minority community, and it starts when these guys are kids. Yeah, I can't tell you how many kids I've had, 12, 13, express either this taste of the cops, not liking the cops, not trusting cops, or just a general sense that they can't be anything just because they're black in a white country. And I talked to the kids, and their parents said, "Do you guys remember we had a black president for 8 years, right? Like that happened?" You know, and a lot of this stuff is, it starts in the home and then in the communities of a lot of the minority groups, and saying, "Oh, well, you know, this is why. No, the reality is, overwhelmingly, these are all individuals making individual choices. And there's a lot of bad cops, and I've heard the one bad apple thing, and I read something that encourage people not to say one, but I was Chris Rock. No, he had a comedy shtick where he would talk about, you know, when you say one bad apple, what if the Delta Airlines did that when they talked about a couple bad apples crashing planes, you know? And so, well, we got good pilots, but a couple of them are bad apples, and we like to run in, you know. And they can't let them
out. I'm just saying, you just can't lump in all the cops with this guy's action. That's unfair. That is unfair.
No, 100%,
and I think most people don't.
Well, I'm not saying that most people, but the overwhelming narrative is that second that there's a bad cop, there's something bad. It's all of them. It's systematic racism. You know, there's articles out. I heard a caller reference earlier. Well, as a white person, you need to do this to be an ally and help be that white. It just becomes even more racial. And that in itself is a racist statement. It's like, hey, if you want to be on my side as a white guy, you got to do this. Like, okay, so because of the color of my skin, I have to do a certain thing in order to be on quote-unquote correct side of these protests. And it just seems to constantly stem that direction. I heard someone say, well, there's 13% of, you know, African Americans, something like that. I think it's up to upwards of 15% currently, but they make up the majority. Well, they've been studied, and I remember there was a missed opportunity, I felt, by the Obama administration, was when Kaepernick took a knee, because that's referenced to, well, you guys didn't like this. Well, because there's a difference. A couple differences. One, people didn't like it, but they didn't say you can't do it, where it's like, no, you can't riot and burn stuff down. You know, people may not like the protest thing, but it's like rioting and that stuff is a different level. But I remember the Obama administration with Loretta Lynch, again, both African-American people who really don't pay attention, they did an internal investigation into these police departments where there was seemingly that rash with the Ferguson riots. There was the Gardner, was that his name? The guy. Garner, and then the Trayvon Martin thing, which wasn't police at all, and but they were doing investigations right around the same time Kaepernick took knees. Like, hey, is this a systematic thing? And the answer they came up was no. They did these things. Hey, why are there more African Americans, you know, in jail? And the answer was, in communities of color, minority communities, minorities in general throughout the country have been committing more crime. As 15% of the population, they commit about 50% of the violent crime. This is going to instantly put a disproportionate percentage of black people at odds with the police department. And I've never been a police officer, but I have friends that have gone through the training, and these numbers are brought up. So if you're in a neighborhood that is disproportionately
you can
black.
Bring up some statistics, but look, as I said, I watched TV yesterday. A senator talked about a black senator being pulled over driving while black 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen to you as a white man? I guess he's gone.
He's gone.
Did you cut him off? Or did
there
you
are a lot of systemic issues, from education, socioeconomic factors. There's a million factors. We understand that. That's all bubbling underneath this.
Look, if you're going to tell me that it's a training thing in the police department, okay, I mean, that's the one cop said it was. If you're going to tell me you need more black cops, okay, I'm for that too. All right, I just refuse to think that it's systemic throughout all police departments. But the police chief of Minneapolis isn't white. He's black. Mm-hmm. The police chief in Minneapolis, well, these guys were working under, is black. So if you're going to tell me it's if you're going to tell me it's systemic, then it includes all races, not just white on black.
Right, but we had a caller earlier, and this caller, who was the football coach, who pointed out the kids, mm-hmm. that perspective of a distrust for police officers, that's not imaginary. It's because of a history. It's because of incidents that happen over and over again.
Well, maybe it's
from going to a mall. Going to a mall. I saw another is a political analyst. I can't remember his name. African-American guy who's in his 60s, looks like a professor. He was on TV, and he talked about just going to a mall. I can't remember what he was looking for, and just being eyeballed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a woman asking if
remember,
he was
I
shopping
told you,
or stealing.
I was with my friends in high school in Boston, and I was the only white guy there, and there were about 16 of us, and the cops broke the door down in the bathroom.
Right.
And thought that we were doing something. So, I mean, I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it. I've been a part of it firsthand. I see what happens. There's no doubt. I just don't know how to solve it. I don't know. And these incidents just make me crazy because it just makes us – it further divides us.
I don't want to get uber political, but I have a friend who's on D.C. Metro Police. It doesn't help when the president says that they weren't there, and then the Secret Service has to say, well, actually, they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would imagine if you're working D.C. Metro that you'd be insulted. He tried to make it a whole thing about Muriel Bowser didn't want the police there. Well, they were, and the Secret Service had to correct the president.
Yeah. Well, Trump's botched this a lot.
I mean, he says things all the time.
I don't know why there isn't more leadership on this.
I mean, look, it's no secret. I mean, he's a clown. I mean, come on. I mean, are we surprised he says stupid things like that?
No.
I mean, nobody's surprised.
Right.
The whole looter.
You know what? Blame the
line.
Democrats. Blame the Democrats because they don't have anybody who can take them down.
The looters, shooters line.
I'm blaming you.
How does that help?
It doesn't. It's just,
it's
he's JP's not presidential.
It's my fault.
It's probably coming from Kushner.
No, it came from an act. It came from somebody in like 1967 that he's repeating a line.
What I'm saying is Kushner probably told him to say it.
You didn't know what he was saying. All right, if you're worried that uncertainty could lead to loss of home equity, talk to the experts. My friends, the realtor rock stars, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams Realty. They'll help you make decisions with honest, straightforward advice about interest rates, your home's value, the rental market, and buying or selling a home. Plus, the Reynolds team guarantees to sell your home at list price, or they'll pay you the difference. There's never been a better time to have an expert on your side. Call the Reynolds team at 844-654-SOLD. That's 844-654-SOLD and start packing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Going to pivot here for a bit. Do the World Series rewind. This is the Nats advancing to the World Series. This is Trey Turner, two-run single in the first as the Nats advance to the World Series.
Listen weekday mornings at 7:40 and 11:40 for the World Series Rewind.
Rewind! Remember where you are on October 30th.
From the Washington Nationals 2019 World Series Championship season.
You want me to rewind that?
Presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation.
Runners second and third, two out. 5-0 Nationals, bottom of the first. Swing and a fly ball, left field toward the line. Ozuna on the run, can't get there. Drops in for a base hit. Scoring is Robles. Behind him, coming in from second is Gomes. On a single to left. Two runs batted in for Trey Turner. Seven runs home here in the bottom of the first inning. The home, he charged to the starter, Dakota Hudson. With two out of the bottom of the first inning, 10 Nationals have batted. It's Washington 7, St. Louis nothing. Unbelievable. Hudson has the sign out from Gomes. Coming set. Looks like they want to go in. Here's the kick now. The pitch, fastball, is hit in the air to left center field. Robles calling for it. He's under it waiting. And he makes the catch. He makes the catch. Bang. Soon go the fireworks. A National League championship winning. Curly W is in the box. And for the first time since 1933, we'll have a World Series in the nation's capital.
I think we were at that game at Nats Park, if my memory serves me correctly. As the Nats advance to their first World Series, first D.C. World Series appearance since 1933, 86 years in the making.
Man, just think about those fans, just listening to them. God, it was just awesome. We just need sports back. We need sports back with stadiums, full stadiums.
They just dismantled the Cardinals, by the way.
Pummeled.
Like a couple of them. Like the Brewers, which was the play-in game, or whatever, wild card game. Mm-hmm. That one was tight. Looked like they could lose that one. Eric was saying goodbye to Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. You know,
well, I was right about that.
Yeah.
Took him just a little early.
I think you're also saying goodbye to Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, it might be Strasburg's last game in a Nats jersey.
I think you're like, this is the last we're going to see of Strasburg and Rendon. And yeah, they won that. The Dodgers series obviously was tight. And then the Astros, but they just punked the Cardinals.
Oh, 20-6 they outscored them.
Yeah, the Cardinals looked pathetic.
Dakota Hudson was pretty good in that last game. He got pummeled by the Nats bats.
I know. So, and he's a good arm, man. That's a good pitcher, and they just crushed him. They were just locked in.
I'm reading the article on ESPN.com about Major League Baseball's, the Players Association's latest proposal. Mm-hmm. And I told you I'm discouraged. It's just mostly because of the history.
Well, you should be.
That you've had, you know, a World Series that was canceled one year. They seem to have the most labor strife, and it seems to me that the players are somewhat entrenched and the owners are entrenched, and their owners saying that they'd be better off not even having a season. But at least the Major League Players Association, Major League Baseball's Players Association, does actually have a proposal.
Yeah.
It's for 114 games. I don't know how they squeeze in 114 games. I guess the regular season would go through October 31st. So to be playing, I mean, in some of these cities, it's freezing at that time. They're playing through October 31st. The part which I didn't understand, expanded playoffs for 2 years is part of the proposal. And then when you look at, they want $100 million to be paid up front to be split amongst the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the owners aren't going to agree to that.
So it's a salary advance.
But at least it's a counter to the proposal that the players were never going to agree to, so maybe they can start negotiating certain points. Maybe they end up at 100 games instead of 114. They just got to work out the money. It always comes down to money. You know that.
Right. Here's what I do know. I know Steven Strasburg isn't taking a pay cut from $35 million down to like $4.75 million. That I do know.
Probably not.
That I'm pretty sure of.
So Major League Baseball had proposed the 82-game season.
Mm-hmm.
And so Major League Baseball, the Players Association, wants 114 games.
Why did they want 114 just to get paid more?
They want to get paid. Major League Baseball wants to have pay cuts on top of the prorated pay cuts that they're already taking.
Because if it's prorated salaries, obviously the more games you play, the more money you make.
I thought they already agreed to 50% cut, though.
That was... Right, that's what they agreed to
in March.
Players
did, and now the owners want to basically take at least another quarter, if not more. And the players,
and then the
like,
owners
no.
came back and said, "No, we're not gonna. We made that deal assuming we're gonna have fans in the stadiums, and now it looks like they're not."
I think they're gonna have fans in the stadiums.
Well, maybe, maybe not.
I've been saying that for weeks. So everyone's just mocking me.
Well, they're not gonna be full.
They probably won't be full right away.
For the very first game, they're not gonna have full stadiums.
No,
it is not.
But they're gonna be fans.
I think
they're just is going.
Well, they
to
have
be
to.
Fans.
If the owners are going to agree to it, they have to have people in the seats because that's how they're going to pay some of their players.
Yeah, they're not going to do this nonsense of have players sitting in the stands. Not high five.
That's not happening. All
none of that is happening.
It's correct.
Stupid, and I said it at the time. It was stupid.
By the way, when we had Chambion on Saturday, he was great. By the way, right?
He's
JP?
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, he's calling.
I don't know that I asked him a question, to be honest, and I don't know that you asked him more than two questions. He just went on and on.
But he was talking about the KBO, the Korean Baseball League, that he calls from his house.
Oh, did you send him a picture?
No, I didn't. I forgot. But he was just talking about how, you know, at the very, you know, the first week or so, maybe the first 2 weeks of that league, guys were staying away from each other. They weren't high-fiving. And he says now it's just, you know, they're just doing what they do. I mean, they're athletes. They're congratulating each other. They're hugging each other after games. And that's what you're going to see with the major leaguers.
Of course.
So I mentioned this picture thing. I don't know if Eric and John heard it. So Boog said that he has, like, behind him, his backdrop, a bunch of pictures. And some of them are kind of inside jokes. But he then often during these broadcasts will explain a picture, like if Brett Boone sends him a picture. And he'll tell like some story. So he invited Jason to send him something. I think all you got to do is text something.
Yeah,
he said, you know, just send him a picture of like Jason in his DeMatha basketball shorts or something, and then he'll put that on the broadcast of Korean baseball. Beautiful.
Yeah, but how prominent are the pictures?
He's got a million pictures. He's got a ton on his wall.
They're not prominent, but he brings them up. Is
right.
the thing.
Yeah.
So
he'll explain.
He was
one.
Saying that if Bish sends him a photo, it'll get a little airtime.
Right. He needs to fill the gaps as he's calling Korean baseball.
He's right. overly nice. This is a guy who does, you know, national baseball games on ESPN. And I'll take him at his word. He says we're by far his favorite show to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because we just let him talk for like 5 minutes uninterrupted.
Right. It's beautiful.
I mean, he loves us. He's just like us. I mean,
he's a good dude. He's a good guy.
Very good guy.
He's down to earth dude. He just loves to watch sports and talk about sports. And he's just really good.
Yeah, he misses baseball terribly, and he's doing these Korean baseball games. And he says sometimes a half hour before the game starts, like he's prepping for a game, they'll say, "Oh, you got to do another game."
Right.
And he'll see somebody go to the pitcher's mound, and he's like, is that the same guy? Or did
is that the same pitcher?
Hey, right. JP and Bish, did you guys hear that we booked Christine Brennan over
the
weekend?
That's a good one. I didn't hear that.
And here's the beautiful part. Mm. We booked her at 2:35.
Oh, you followed our lead because we happened to book Harold Reynolds.
at 11:40.
We pulled the silly O&A. I don't know why we're not doing that more often. We're stupid. We should be doing that every weekend show. Minimum every weekend. Probably during the week, too.
We should do the last two segments.
JP and I started that trend for the weekend shows.
Well, that you know what? We're piggyback riding off of you.
You should. You absolutely should.
Harold Reynolds was our fifth guest. We had five guests, if you count.
You know what that's going to be called? The new normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is the new normal.
I'm with you on that one.
Although this weekend you're going to be at Kinloch?
I'm going down to Kinloch to play, yes, this weekend.
Hmm.
Two rounds. Friday and Saturday.
I'm playing tomorrow. In fact, I think today I got to go out to golf them and pick up our bags. We have to thank Buddy. I'm sure you guys all saw the pictures, right?
Buddy!
Yeah, that was awesome.
Of the golf bags, courtesy of TaylorMade.
Very
and
nice.
Golf them. So
yes.
Thank you to Scott Bavaro and TaylorMade.
Did you see? Even I got one.
Bobby's got one.
Yep.
I was very pleasantly surprised with that.
And I know that Drab doesn't play golf, but once a year. But I'm sure he was distraught.
That's the talk of the producer room this morning.
Oh, has it been?
Oh, is it really?
Valdez is egging me on. Yeah. Trying to get me stirred up.
How upset, though, were you?
I was pretty wrecked.
Yeah.
A little wrecked.
That's okay, Drab. You can have my old bag.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you can have my Orioles bag.
I got a couple old ones I can give you.
You can have my bag and rip cakes off of it and stitch Drab on there if you really want it.
Hey, I'm sure Galtham has some very nice bags there. Didn't look like he stretched too much to give you guys the Cadillac version.
What do you
mean? Why are you joning?
I saw some basic bags. You guys got the basics.
I don't know. You just saw the back where the embroidery was.
Yeah, Valdez.
I'm sure TaylorMade didn't give us a poop bag.
Valdez says you're a douche if you have your name stitched on your bag.
There's some truth to that. That's why they gave us, I think, three different panels. Yeah. You can have one with nothing. You can have one that just says the Junkies, and then you can have one that says the Junkies and your initials. I'll probably put the one that has just the Junkies on. I think that's kind of cool.
It's an unwritten golf rule. If you have your name on your bag, you better be good.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well,
if you show up and that name is on your bag, you better be like a plus two.
What'd you say, JP?
I didn't know that it was like some sort of choice thing. I thought that it was just
no. There's
on
like
there.
Three different things you can just zip them on and off.
Just zip it.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just jealous.
He's jealous.
Definitely
jealous.
That's obvious.
Yeah. Whatever happened to your Scorchy Taws bag, Jason?
You sold it.
I sold it.
Scorchy Taws embroidered.
Remember, I sold it.
Yeah. Jealous.
I was just so embarrassed to actually put my name on it. That's why I put Scorchy Taws on it.
No, I have my name on a big ass pro bag from 20 years ago. I'm silly.
I did notice that EB's embroidery is super big.
Yeah, it's only two letters.
It's almost as big as the text on it, the font on his text.
Right.
I knew you were working that out. Knew that was coming.
Is mine Lurch or Bish?
A mile away.
Yours is Bish.
And people are angry about that.
Why?
Right.
Well, I saw a tweet from, I think, Maureen. She said, I just can't believe that Jason so easily convinced us to change his name to Bish.
Yeah, who gets to change his own nickname? Yeah.
It's a bit Lurch for 24 years.
Well, I was Bish way before that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We call him anything.
It doesn't. You're right.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you to Golfdom.
Thank you, Golfdom. Yes, I see Jason wearing the new lid.
Today.
Jason's got the new Golfdom lid.
Oh, you do?
No, this is Glorified Donkey. It's
what?
It's a podcast from a caddy out in Pebble Beach.
I thought it said GD like Golfdom Golf.
It does.
But it's the Glorified Donkey.
Oh, hold on. Glorified Donkey? Let me see that thing.
It's a podcast where? Out in Pebble Beach?
Yeah.
Do you know the donks that do it?
I met the caddy that does it. But
I got duped. I was duped by a homemade number hat.
It's better than our Junkies.
I actually love this
hat,
too. He just sent it to me this weekend. Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in or anything, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.